I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World, and I am in Kentucky. I came to Louisville to speak at this great church that you should really check out. It's called St. Stephen's Church. I'm out of Louisville, Kentucky, and it's run by Pastor Kevin Cosby. I love speaking his praises because the pastor is doing amazing work, amazing economic development work. Obviously, he's serving as a pastor, which is important, but he expands the walls of the church outside of that building, and I just think that that's phenomenal. But anyway, I wanted to talk really quickly about something that just hit my mind. As you know, I'm a teacher. That's what I've been doing for 20 years. So online, this is consider this to be a private HBCU with hundreds of thousands of students, and you're one of my students right now. Maybe if I can offer something that might help you. But then again, maybe you don't want to be a student. Maybe you just want to listen to me because you think I'm full of it. But that's okay. I don't know everything, and I'm here to learn as well as teach. But one of the thoughts that I wanted to share very quickly, and I promise I'll be quick on this because I got stuff to do, is I was talking to Michael Imhotep, who runs the African History Network, and we were talking about some comments that Gabrielle Union made recently about how she also feels that black women are asked to do a lot of cooning in Hollywood. In order to get certain roles, they have to play stereotypes and shuck and jive, and she used the term shuck and jive and coon and stuff like that. And I was really impressed with the fact that Gabrielle brought that up. I thought it was very brave of her to do that. I think that she was probably I don't know, I'm not going to put words in her mouth, but I'm wondering if she was thinking about the show Empire. I mean, in fact, I got to check the interview again because I think she may have mentioned Empire in the interview, but don't hold me to that. But either way. What's interesting to me is, the show Empire is doing really well. Rupert Murdoch at Fox, one of the biggest racists on the planet, is very happy right now because he's able to convince a lot of viewers to watch. You've got two types of viewers when it comes to Empire. You've got the white folks who are viewing blackness through the lens of this dysfunction. And then you have black folks who are viewing the dysfunction and seeing a reflection of themselves. And they appreciate these images because they think it's keeping it real. You know, this is really our community. This is really what we represent. And I think that's a little bit of a question, a problem, because, you know, if you were to, say, pitch a show about the Academy, jeez, I can't remember. I feel so bad. I can't, it's run by Tim King. It is the Academy in Chicago that graduates 100% of its, or sends 100% of its graduates to college every single year. It's in one of the roughest parts of the city of Chicago. And forgive me for forgetting the name, and I'm not going to look it up, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. If you pitched a show about that sort of achievement for black males, which is just as extraordinary as, you know, another Negro paid money to rap about killing another black man, that show, that second show, would not be would not get green lighted. But the show about the black man doing, you know, all kinds of you know, stereotypical stuff, well, that's going to be good entertainment for white folks. And the thing is that this has a direct link to minstrel shows. I mean, if you look back, you can see it more clearly. Go to YouTube one day and look at some of the old movies and minstrel shows and cartoons from the 1940s and 50s and 60s. They had a very white folks had a very clear image then and now of what black people are. You know, and they'd look like, you know, they'd be cooning, big bug eyes, and, you know, and these big, you know, watermelon smiles, and they'd want to eat chicken and watermelon and corn. And it'll be lazy as all get out. You know, basically filling all these stereotypes and expectations that whites have always had for blacks, because they've always had a very special relationship with black people. And so, anyway, you know, my thought on this is that what's interesting to me is that I think that as a community, because we're so accustomed to being mistreated, we are addicted to garbage. Not only do people serve us garbage when it comes to our media, we've actually gained an appetite for garbage. No different from the fact that many of us will sit down and eat a bowl of pig guts at Christmas and really think that that's normal because we've been eating it for so long. You know, I think that we should probably think about this because this addiction to garbage, it doesn't help us move forward. It is also a reflection of not just this distasteful preference that we've gained over time, but it also speaks to the sense of hopelessness that many of us are ingrained with when it comes to just what it takes to be successful. Most of us have pretty much submitted to the idea that you can't be a success in America unless white folks approve of you. You can't really get ahead or be a big shot unless some big white corporation gives you a bunch of money, or gives you a fancy title, gives you a big platform, or whatever. Think about all the celebrities that you know that are the biggest names out here. Most of them were propped up by whites. And so I think when you talk about Hollywood, even Chris Rock, and I love Chris Rock. I mean, I just think that guy, he's the black Bill Maher, just without all the stupidity. Bill Maher is kind of an idiot half the time, but he does say some things that are very profound. Chris Rock. I really like Chris Rock. In fact, I don't really try to meet too many celebrities because it's kind of a pain in the butt. But Chris Rock is one of the few people I'd actually love to talk to, and maybe one day I will. I know he shared a couple of my articles, but we've never actually met in person. But I'd love to have a conversation with him. But Chris Rock was talking about, as liberated as he is intellectually, he was talking about Gabrielle Union and how funny she is, and he was saying that Gabby could, she's Tina Fey funny. Tina Fey's on Saturday Night Live. If given the right role, given the right opportunity, she could really show how funny she is. So listen to that language. Think about what was just said here. He's basically saying that that if somebody, probably a white studio, white-owned studio, gives her an opportunity to show how talented she is, then she's going to blow it off the roof. She's going to blow it off the map. So my question is very simple. Why are we waiting for somebody else to give Gabrielle Union an opportunity? Why are we waiting for other people to give us opportunities? Why do we wait for other people to give us jobs? A job is not something someone's supposed to give you. A job is something you're supposed to create. That's the fundamental premise. And so we have to understand how deep the brainwashing goes. I mean, it's deep, real deep. And the thing is that we've gotten to the point where we literally are like helpless farm animals to a point where we literally wait for the farmer to come and feed us every morning, or we will starve and die. And when we're not being fed, we complain because we're not getting fed enough. And that is that's a sick mindset. That's a culture. That's an indoctrination. That's excessive assimilation. That's when you are a conquered people, basically. That's what pretty much happens when you conquer a group of people. You steal away their culture, you put them in special schools so that they'll learn to be just like you. You punish them for being who they are, or for connecting to their old culture in any way, and then at the same time you reward them for assimilation, and then you place them in the strata of your society that you would like for most of them to be. We have a few elite black people, absolutely. We have a couple of Oprah Winfreys and Steve Harveys and all that, but the majority of black people are in the basement of American society. We are the ones who are most likely to be incarcerated, most likely to be uneducated, most likely to be unemployed, most likely to be shot and killed in the street. So the majority of black people are in the basement. So that's what integration looks like. You see, the thing is, integration has nothing to do with equality. Integration means I'm going to let you in. I'm going to integrate you into whatever I'm doing. But I might be integrating you so you can be my whore. I might be integrating you so you can wash my basement and scrub my floors. I might be integrating you so you can clean the toilet because I don't want to do it. And so ultimately, when you think about what integration looks like, it's kind of like this. And this is where the black community got duped when it came to integration and or desegregation and all that, which are actually two different things. excuse me. But here's where we got duped. It's almost like, imagine somebody who's outside in the cold and it's freezing, and they're building a house. And their house right now is very, very small, but it's their house, and it's kind of keeping them out of the cold, but they wish they had something better. But they're still building, building, building. And then somebody comes along and says, you know, hey, I got a mansion down the street. You can integrate into my mansion. You can come into my mansion. And the only requirement is, look, you just got to let go of this stuff that you're building, because you're going to be living with me now. Everything's good. You and me. I got you. So you go and you integrate into the house, and you get inside, and you find out that they put you in the basement. They don't let you eat in the kitchen. You don't eat the good food. You eat in the scraps. You don't get to live in the nice area. You're living in the bottom. And then on top of that, somebody's bulldozed your little house that you were building, so you don't have nothing. You went from having a little bit to not having shit. Excuse my French. And so effectively, that's kind of what happened to black people. We jumped off of our life raft and climbed into a boat, which from with people who eventually threw us back in the water or put us in the bottom of the boat, and made us row it. And so what I would say is that we have to really shift our thinking. This is the financial Juneteenth lesson of this conversation. FinancialJuneteenth.com is the website where I talk about finance and all that stuff. I mean, my PhD's in finance, and my goal is to share the knowledge with as many people as possible. Every now and then I might write something or shoot some video or whatever that I ask you to pay for, and I hope you'll do that, because we do use this money to hire and pay black people. We're not just trying to floss and bling and drive a Mercedes. That's not really our style. But But at the same time, though, these are the thoughts that come to mind for me as a finance PhD. When I see how businesses are built, I study how empires are built, I study how America works. And I'm still learning. I mean, all of us are still learning. I mean, the brainwashing is deep. I mean, very, very deep. And so when you see the garbage being presented to you, presented to your children, understand that there is usually a poison pill dropped in that garbage. There's something in that trash that is designed to alter your physical and psychological and spiritual disposition. There is typically an agenda in most American media. Look throughout history, they've always used media as a form of propaganda. And black people, even though whites and the white power structure has never really respected us, they've always kept an eye on us. And I think a lot of it is because they know that when we do come together, when we do become intellectualized, when we do become self-reliant, when we do become empowered, we become a threat to national security. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to tell you what to watch or what to read and all that stuff. I mean, all of us have our guilty pleasures. All of us maybe listen to music that we know we shouldn't listen to, or watch a show that really isn't good for us. So I'm not judging that, but I am encouraging you to not fall for the okie doke, not fall for the poison, and not become addicted to the garbage. You're better than that. You deserve better than that. And I say to somebody like a Gabrielle Union, girl, you are beautiful. You are smart. You are talented. You are amazing. We ain't gotta wait for nobody to give you permission to show all of that. Take your millions. You got a millionaire husband, Dwayne Wade. You've got friends that are millionaires. Pull together a few $100,000 and make a great film. Send it to me. I'll make sure it's seen by everybody at Your Black World. That's what we have to do. We have to work together and support each other so we can build something. Let's start building and let's stop borrowing. That's really the ultimate goal for our community. That's what's going to make us strong. Well, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World. I'm out. Please take care. God bless. I'm gone. Peace.